Hi, and welcome to the Reiki from the Farm podcast, brought to you by me, Pam Allen LeBlanc from Hidden Brook Farm. I am a scientist, a businesswoman, and a licensed Reiki master teacher with the International Center for Reiki Training. Each week in this podcast, you'll be entertained as you learn about a wide variety of relevant Reiki topics, helping you become a more knowledgeable and effective Reiki practitioner. We caution you, though, this podcast may also dramatically improve your life, and we are so happy that you're here. In today's podcast, I'm speaking with Munikai Mohammed. Munikai is 49 years old. He was born in Phoenix, Arizona. He's the second oldest of four brothers. And we're talking today about communicating Reiki across cultures. This is a topic that we're both very excited about. And when I heard Munikai give a presentation on this topic at the recent International Reiki Retreat, I knew that you had to hear from him too, and his brilliant ideas of how we can communicate across cultures. Munikai is an Isui Reiki Ryoho master. He's an Isui Holy Fire 3 Reiki master teacher, a Holy Fire 3 Karuna Reiki master teacher, a certified Reiki healing drumming instructor, a Reiki sonics sound healing practitioner, and a certified life coach with a specialty in cultural connections. He teaches English as a second language and has done so since 1998. He is a practicing Muslim. He also has a Bachelor's of Arts in Spanish from the University of Arizona, a split minor in intercultural perspectives in Japanese, and he's the first non-Asian member of the Asian Pacific American Student Alliance. He started learning Hawaiian hula dancing in 2006 and was a professional hula dance instructor from 2008 till 2017. He speaks English, Spanish, and Japanese and has a basic introductory knowledge of Arabic, Hawaiian, and Russian. Munikai is coming to us today from Healing Land Reiki in Japan. I'm going to put some links to some of Munikai's classes. He has some wonderful classes in Japan in November, December, and January. And I'll also put some links to some of the other things that we're going to talk about today. If you do happen to have a World Peace Grid handy, and I put a link to that, go ahead and get that. We will be using it at the end of our podcast in our meditation. And I also want to let you know that you can subscribe and rate our podcast on iTunes. You can subscribe to it on any other podcast channel. And I also invite you to check out our licensed Reiki classes, the online classes that we're teaching here at the farm in November and January. We also have classes in animal communication and animal Reiki coming up in November. So welcome, Munikai.
Thank you, Pam. Thank you for having me. I appreciate this so much.
Well, I was so blown away by your presentation that I thought we really had to do that. Before we begin, Munikai, do you mind if we start with a bit of a prayer and invocation, just allowing people to bring their Reiki energy in so that they're listening to the podcast from that beautiful sacred space of Reiki and able to hear it with an open heart?
I think that would be most appropriate for the discussion we're going to have today.
Wonderful. If you have anything to add, go ahead. But for right now, I'm just going to invite the listeners to draw the Reiki symbols in your hands or in the room around you, or imagine them, just invoke them in whatever way that you like to bring Reiki in. And if you don't have your Reiki symbols, just ask your Reiki to begin flowing and place it in the room all around you. And go ahead and close your eyes and take some deep breaths and just begin letting go. Letting go of the busyness of your day or your week or month or even your year. And let go of anything you need to think about later. This moment is about you and for you. So give yourself this time to focus your attention on you. And we invite the energies of love, peace, and understanding to surround us and fill us now. And also the energy of forgiveness. The interesting thing about forgiveness is that it doesn't mean that we are okay with the actions of others or that we condone them. It simply means we are no longer willing to allow them to hold us hostage. We invite the energy of the divine mind, the divine heart, and divine love to join us today so that we might hear the message not through our own filter, but with the intention that it is presented or given. And we invite the energy of love to guide this entire presentation. We are aware of the dual nature of the earth that we live in. And that dual nature means that energies can come from love or fear. We invite the energy of love to lead this discussion and your understanding of it and our path forward from here. Releasing any negative energies or emotions, frustration, anger, disgust, annoyance, anything that may come up. We are grateful to be of a lineage of light bringers today, creating wellness in this world. Aho, namaste, amen. Thank you.
Thank you. That was wonderful.
Thank you, Monika. Yeah. Monika, I have so many questions for you. And just when we were talking about this topic, getting ready, you know, we talked for 2 hours and just barely made a dent into it. So I guess to get started, though, I'd like people to know who you are. So can you just tell us a little bit about yourself and also how Reiki found you?
Okay. All right. We can do that. Okay. I am, as you mentioned, I was born in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm the second oldest of four boys. So with my mom, dad, and the four of us. And I grew up in South Phoenix in Arizona. And if you know anything about Arizona, there's a lot. It has a very large Mexican-American population. It's a very large Spanish-speaking population. It's totally normal for the American Southwest and to hear Spanish all the time. And growing up, I just realized that a lot of people around me spoke Spanish. I didn't know what they were talking about. I spoke Spanish and English. And being a young black man in Phoenix, Arizona, I was like, you know what? There's more than this going on around here. And I'm not in on the message. I don't know what's going on. So when I was in high school, I just tried to start learning Spanish. I just made an attempt to learn Spanish. And it was not going good. It was not going well. And I was going to give up. And then my mother told me that, you know, and even if it doesn't flow the way you want, just keep going. Don't give up. Keep going. Keep studying. And then I moved even closer to the Mexican border. I moved to Tucson, Arizona to attend university. And it was there that things started picking up for me. I tried to do computer engineering and Spanish to get two bachelor's degrees at once. Computer engineering was really tough.
Yeah.
But I did learn a lot through learning about physics and math that helped me to give me a good balance of perspective. But eventually, Spanish won out. And so I became a Spanish major at the University of Arizona. But something that was going on there that just intrigued me was that growing up in South Phoenix, everyone is either was Mexican or Black, or there were just a few tiny hints of Caucasian people in South Phoenix at that time. It's changed since then, but that was my life growing up. And when I went to the University of Arizona at 35,000 people, and at the time there was only 500 Black, that was a major culture shock for me. And
I bet.
It was, I've never seen like people hanging out and doing things that they were doing. So I learned that they were just, people were different from everywhere. And I was like at an all-you-can-eat cultural buffet, and it really interested me the way different people communicated and how they communicated with each other. And I saw that some people just communicated differently, and it intrigued me. And so I started studying lots of different cultures. I studied Mexican-American cultures. I started studying Asian-American cultures, in addition to my and women's studies, in addition to my Spanish. And eventually I went to study abroad in Mexico, took my first Japanese class, got the Japanese bug, came back to America and started studying more Japanese. And eventually my counselor told me that I had taken enough different credits from different cultural classes that I could make my own minor, called a thematic minor of intercultural perspectives.
Wow.
So that was not an intentional thing, but that was what eventually it turned out to be. And also I had taken enough credits at the time to have a minor in Japanese. So I've always had a affinity for trying to look at other people and understand them. And at the time, then I also returned to being a practicing Muslim, with all practicing and being a Muslim. So being a Black man, which moves to Africa, growing up in the USA, which means I speak English, so I have my European understanding, studying Spanish, so I have a connection to all the people from Mexico all the way down to the South America. And then I moved to Japan to begin teaching English. And I've been in Japan since 1998. And in 2006, an opportunity came up for me to start learning Hawaiian hula. So I took that on. And so I started learning Hawaiian hula, and my knowledge of cultures kept growing. And so then I meet my person who became my business partner, Lena Takahashi. She is from Ukraine. So now my connection to the Russian speaking world kept growing. And so who am I? I would say that I'm a person who, with the exception of Australia, the North Pole, and the South Pole, I have a perspective of at least every continent on Earth, and I have a connection to the different regions of the Earth: the Pacific Islands, North America, South America, Africa, Europe, the Arab speaking world. My partner is from the Russian speaking world. So my perspective, I look at the globe and think of what you would call countries. Mm-hmm. I consider those to be just rooms in my house.
Well, and I have the Australian room, Unukai. Okay. I teach in Australia, so we'll get that room.
We'll work that one as well. Yeah, we'll work that one out. So yeah, that's who I am. So I consider the planet my home, and I just happen to stay most of the time in the room that's called Japan. That's who I am.
I love that perspective. Well, listen, how did Reiki find you? Like, how did that enter into this cultural perspective that you have cultivated, really? Okay.
One day I was like in a bookstore just looking around to see what was going on. And I just came across the original Reiki handbook by Mikao Usui and by Frank Arjava Petter, who had made the connection to the original Usui Reiki Ryoho Gakkai, gotten access to the archives, and translated Usui Sensei's original handbook into English. Well, the thing that was so interesting is I just picked the book up and I flipped through it a few times, and the words that came to me were that, you know what, I'll just buy it. One day this will come in handy. And so I put it on my shelf and it stayed there for over 10 years. And over 10 years, it's just on my shelf. It was just there. Then one day, Lena Takahashi, my partner, she and I were discussing some different things. And a friend of hers said, you know, Lena was having some trouble. And a friend of hers said, why don't you try Reiki? And it was like, what is Reiki? Neither of us had heard of it. So she came to me one time and just said, hey, have you heard of this thing called Reiki? And at that moment, it just clicked. I just went right downstairs, got the book off the shelf, brought it upstairs. Oh, you mean this? And so it's like, hey, you got a book on it. So Lena went and got her sessions that led to getting her attunements. And she kept telling me, you've got to get your Reiki attunement. You've got to get your Reiki training. Like, you've got to do this for your life. And like a typical guy, I was like, yeah, okay, I'll do it. But like, I had my own focus at that time. I really did. And I do have, they say I have ADHD. And so my mind is very busy. The day that I got my very first Reiki session, I remember opening my eyes and my mind was absolutely quiet.
Yes.
Usually there's always some kind of thought going on. There's some kind of, you know, okay, do this, background music, whatever. But my mind was absolutely quiet for the very first time in my life. And I was like in awe. What is this? What? Explain this. And the Reiki practitioner said that I had so many energy cords attached to me that even when I was asleep, I was still communicating with people, and she cleared those energy cords. And from that point on, I said, I got to do this. And that was in 2016. And both Lena Takahashi and I, we both trained up to being Usui Reiki masters by November 2016. Mm-hmm. But just the unique thing that happened to me, this is just one little small part.
Yeah.
Is that after I had gotten my Reiki level 1 attunement in September, at the beginning of September, Lena had been telling me that I had need to listen to this lady, this podcast. I got to listen to her. She's just brilliant. And I was like, I'll listen to it. Fine. And finally, September 30th, 2016, I listened to the podcast fine for the very first time. And it was Colleen Benelli,
yes,
Reiki Lifestyle, and she was talking about Holy Fire, at the time, Holy Fire 2 Reiki. And that podcast, there's something in that podcast that she said that it literally, it's like the car speaker screamed it at me to pay attention to it. And there's a line that something she says about Holy Fire, then Holy Fire Reiki, that when I heard it, it touched me as a practicing Muslim, it touched me deeply. And I told Len, I said, hey, you got to listen to this podcast. I wrote Colleen a letter because she and William were going to be coming to Japan the next month in October. And I just wrote her a letter, said, hey, I'm a new level one practitioner. I hear you're coming to Japan. I'd like to meet you and Mr. Rand for coffee or whatever. And the thing that she replied that she and William were having a lecture, that William was having a lecture, and the date of that he was going to be having the lecture was the day before Lena and I were to have our level two attunement. So we were already going to be in Tokyo anyway.
Wow.
We just changed our tickets and everything, and we went, and that was when we first met William Rand and Colleen Benelli, and our lives have been, we've been attached to the ICRT and the system ever since, and it has been a wonderful, wonderful experience. I am so glad, as you can see by my bio, I've trained all the way up through the system.
I really understand that. There is something about the ICRT training that's just so inclusive and loving. And it also really does encourage you to use your own intuition as well. And it is a lineage that speaks to me. And clearly, I guess it speaks to you as well.
Oh, yeah. It speaks to me very much. Now, that does not mean that we are saying anything about any other lineages. All lineages are wonderful and are loved and accepted. It's just that this literally screamed, you are meant to be here. So that is all I'm saying.
Yes, I know I was aware that I needed to be with this lineage to Munikai, but absolutely. People are with the lineage that speaks with them. And this podcast is meant to be for all lineages. So I don't mean to disclude anybody or not to include people. Munikai, let's talk about communicating across cultures, though, because you said something in your presentation at the Reiki retreat that really intrigued me. You said that within your prayers, you had an understanding that was your role. And in fact, you felt so strongly about that, that you have created a Reiki culture class that isn't live yet, but we will include a link to that. It's in Bitly. You can sign up to be on the waiting list to become aware of when this class is available. But you really have had a calling toward helping bring the cultures together or helping us learn to communicate with each other across cultures. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yes. When you are a student of languages, the thing that is important about languages is that we all have something in our mind that we wish to express. What we call languages is simply our attempt to formulate sounds that will communicate what is in our mind. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, what is in our mind can be expressed. You can express the same thing differently and say the same thing. Mm-hmm. If I want to say good morning in English, but you would say buenos dias in Spanish. You would say ohayo gozaimasu in Japanese. You say aloha kahiki aka in Hawaiian. But the point is, if you have different people who do not understand the different grammars that you're using, then you would think you're saying different things. But you're not. You're saying the same thing. What? I am giving you a morning greeting. I'm giving you a morning greeting in four different manners. Therefore, I can speak to multiple people. The thing about cultures and the things about languages is that if you are monolingual in your expression, you can only communicate with a very limited amount of people. And monolinguisticness, when I say that, mean you only speak one language. Most people do not understand that even though you and I, Pam, are speaking English, mm-hmm. even now, you have a unique language that you speak. I have a unique language that I speak, and therefore we're striving to communicate we are simultaneously translating, even within the English language. And when we expand that to multiple grammars of French and Japanese and Spanish, it's important to learn to exercise the ability to speak differently. And when you speak differently, you actually learn how to say the same thing in different fashions. That's a skill, that's a muscle that you can exercise, and it allows you to be able to communicate better. It allows you to be more effective. And the problem with many people is most people only know how to communicate from their own personal perspective, their own personal language. So even though you and I are speaking English, you're on the farm, Reiki on the farm, you're on the Reiki on the farm. If you only knew how to speak farm talk, then it would be difficult for you to speak to, say, someone from the big city, even though you would be speaking English. But you don't understand what I'm talking about. I'm about the post and wires and the vegetables. Well, I'm from the city. I don't know about that. Oh, well, then how can you communicate? We all do multilingual work every day, but many of us don't think of it that way. We think, well, I'm speaking English, I'm communicating. No. How I relate to myself is my own language, and how I relate to other people is their language. And so we have to try to learn to be multilingual in our approach. The more languages we speak, the more we exercise being able to speak from different perspectives. It gives us the ability to see the world from other perspectives, and we're able to better mesh with and understand other points of view.
I love that, Munikai. Colleen Benelli has also been my mentor through the ICRT licensed teacher program. And she often says something that I think of regularly about perspectives. She says there are 7 billion people on the planet, and there are 7 billion different perspectives and different ways of understanding, different places to come from. And so I think that's so important, what you've said. I know with a lot of the things that have been going on in our culture, I'm Canadian, but we are very aware of what's happening in the US and with regards to racial tensions and issues there. And I don't think anyone in any country is exempt from racial tensions and things like that. And I know I keep thinking of that from a standpoint of perspective, that as a woman, I am aware of what it feels like to be discriminated against, I guess, because of my gender within my professional life as a scientist and as a businesswoman. And yet I really still know from that, that still does not give me the perspective to really fully understand what it must be like to live life as a minority and, you know, somebody who is on the receiving end of prejudice. So what do we do as Reiki practitioners? We really want to move from the language of fear and anger and frustration. There is an understanding that all thoughts and all emotions come from either a place of fear or love. That's the dual nature of the world that we live in. And I'm always talking to my clients and my students about how we can switch their perspective to come from a place of love. Because generally, when we experience a problem, it's because we are bracing against something and we may be moving into the fear side of the perspective, and we may not be coming from love. And you and I talked earlier, bracing is something that I'm in the middle of training horses right now. And it's something that a wonderful horse trainer, Mark Rashid, talks about, that when you brace against a horse, when you're trying to teach them something or ask them to do something, they'll find that brace and fight back. So we have to learn as a horse trainer to just become, I don't know if it's very accepting or very, and then there's nothing for the horse to fight against. And so the two of you can move forward instead of fighting against one another. you know, I want you to go there. No, I don't want to go there. You just wind up, and we do a physical exercise with this where learning to take the brace out of your body, you can then say, I want to go there. And the horse says, I do too. And so you, when there's no brace, there's no fight. And so how do we bring that into this discussion? What would you say to that?
The thing that, as Reiki practitioners, what I would say to that is that we really are blessed to be practitioners of this wonderful modality, mm-hmm. because we have the tools in our possession to use them not only for ourselves, but to help others if they choose to avail themselves. The main tool that we have is at the level 2 of Reiki is the distance symbol.
Exactly.
And the distance symbol, one of the things it can be is a bridge of light, or it can, from whatever space you are in. Let's say, for example, today I am overweight, or I am afraid of this situation or these people. I no longer want to be overweight, or I no longer want to be afraid of this situation. How do I do it? You can actually use the distance symbol to create a bridge between where you are to the destination you want to achieve. I want to be in a space of love. I want to be mm-hmm. in love with and harmony with my body. I want to be in a space of love and harmony with this situation. So you can use the distance symbol with other cultures.
Sure.
So you use the distance symbol, and in your Reiki, you intend to bridge the gap between yourself and them. And then you actually use your imagination, and you see yourself walking across that bridge in the spirit of love. And then you use the mental and emotional, or the harmony symbol, mm-hmm. to raise your consciousness up to the level of the divine, because the same divine essence that is within me is within those other people, that other culture. So if I can look at them from the divine perspective, then I will no longer have fear. I will see, oh, that's just myself in another form. And then you use the power symbol to empower, to strengthen your resolve to make the journey. And then once you come out of your Reiki meditation, then the work begins, because then it requires to take active steps in that direction. It means doing deep introspection. Where did my fear come from? Mm-hmm. And is it ancestral? Am I reacting to some kind of trauma? Or is it just learned behavior? But whatever it is, okay, that's where it came from. And I'm going to heal that by sending Reiki energy to myself in this area, to forgive myself, to love myself enough to say, you know what? This part of me that I'm afraid, what I see over there is just myself. What I see that I'm afraid of in them is actually, I'm looking at myself in a state of fear. And so by healing of the fear, healing yourself, and with love for yourself and love for the external reflection of yourself, it'll be easier to bridge the gap when you see, oh, that's just an external reflection of myself. And then you will not have any hesitation to walk across the bridge and to make it a reality. You'll find yourself going to cultural events. You'll find of the people of that culture. You'll find yourself Googling people who are from that culture. You'll find yourself vibrating more in harmony and in the frequency of the people of that culture. You will still be yourself, you'll still have yourself, but you'll find yourself able to shift into the vibration of the people of that culture. And therefore, when you walk among them, they will feel, oh, this is a member of the family. The packaging looks a little different, but they're still a member of the family, versus a person who has not made that shift. And then you walk among them and you automatically feel the vibration is off. It can happen all the time. We say it all the time. It's like, that person looks out of place here, but this one over here, this person belongs here. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
I love how you talk about the perspective and also just how important it is to do the introspection. And I want to bring up something that I did inadvertently. I use the word colorless because when I look at my soul and I look at your soul, they look the same to me. And to be truthful, I do not see a color in our souls. No matter who I look at, I see them like that. And I've always been drawn to other cultures like you. And so, you know, when all of the racial tensions started, I said, well, do I have prejudice in me? If I see people without seeing their color, if I love people no matter what, surely there is no prejudice there. But as always, I went to Reiki and I asked the question, and Reiki said, actually, there is some prejudice there. You learned it. It's cultural. It's from the culture that you were raised in. And I was so grateful to become aware that that was there. And because then Reiki showed me, but it is possible to live that and, you know, truly see people the way that you intend and you think you see them. It is possible to lift that culturally created prejudice that may be there without your knowledge of it. And so, in fact, I wound up leading a meditation during our Reiki share with that. And we had people from all different cultures in that they all did the same thing. They all told me afterward that, wow, I didn't know that was there. And so we had an opportunity to lift that. And I think in our meditation later, you and I are going to, that's the starting point, but we are going to take things a little further than that.
Thank you for what you just said, because a lot of people do not accept the concept that they have prejudice. And the reason that they do not accept it is because most people do not understand the language. They do not understand the words. The second they hear this, you say, well, you have prejudice in you, they immediately jump to the defensive and think, you're saying I am a bad person. You're saying I am a racist or white supremacist or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the problem, one of the main problems, is that most people have not cleared the word. They have not understood the language. One of the things that you learn by studying multiple languages is that most native speakers of the language do not understand the language they're speaking as well as they think they do.
Okay. That's interesting.
The other interesting corollary to that is that people who are non-native speakers who have to work hard to learn the language and get the wording right tend to have a better understanding of the words in their non-native language. Let's talk about this word prejudice. Mm-hmm. Prejudice only means that we all have biases. Every human being on earth has biases. It is natural. It just means you have a preference. Some people prefer tea to coffee. Mm-hmm. Some people prefer, you know, sports cars to family vans. It's the perspective. We all have it. We all have our biases. We all have our what we prefer. There's nothing wrong with having a preference. A preference also could be called a prejudice, prejudging. I like this. I like apples better than oranges. Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. The problem is when people start to take their personal prejudices, their personal biases, and begin to act on them publicly and feel that they are entitled or justified to act on their personal preferences in a way that is harmful to others and that the person feels they have the right to do. That is when your personal bias, the second you start to act on your personal bias in a way that negatively impacts another person to the benefit of yourself, that's where the problem comes in. But simply having prejudice is not a problem. But it is possible, again, to heal from that if we want to. The key word is if we want to. But we are not going to want to heal from a condition or situation that we're not aware we have it. Mm-hmm. And when informed that we could have it, we deny that it exists. The problem with prejudices is that the societies we have grown up in, I grew up in the United States of America. You grew up in Canada. Mm-hmm. Neither society is perfect, and no society is. So we all have our biases and prejudices that we grew up with because of the systems we grew up under. It's like being a fish. Fish are born in water. The fish did not choose to be born in water. It just was born there. It's swimming around. The fish does not know it's wet. So it's possible to have prejudices and to be acting upon them and not be aware of them. And when informed of it, said, hey, your behavior shows a bias towards X, Y, or Z, immediately everyone wants to get defensive. You're calling me a bad person. I'm shocked that you think that about me. It's like, no, wait a minute. Step back. Take a deep breath. What we're saying is that we see the bias towards A, B, and C. When we have biases and we're not healed from them, we can negatively impact people and not be aware of it. But when we choose to open our heart, mind, and soul and say, you know what? Since I'm not a perfect creature yet, let me work on myself and let me heal from what's within me. When we make that first step, all the universe opens doors to make that happen. And as Reiki practitioners, again, we really are in a very good position because we are attuned to the universal energy that wants to help us. All we have to do is make the decision. I choose to be healed of my prejudices. It starts with how you even talk to yourself. Do not talk down on yourself or that, oh, I can't believe I made that mistake. Okay, you're human. You made the mistake. Now let's move forward to solution instead of dwelling on the problem. But many people are afraid to admit that they have the problem. Therefore, they're not even ready to get to solution. And that's another part of the problem. Let's admit that we have the problem. And well, how do you know that I have the problem? The society that we live in reflects the problem exists. Society right. reflects the problem exists. So if everyone says, I'm not the problem, are you the problem, Joe? Nope, not me. Well, then why does society have the problem? And since we're all a part of the society, we're all a part of the problem. Let's all be a part of the solution and use this wonderful energy to do so. Let's apply the Reiki energy to ourselves, to our clients with their permission, and let's help raise the vibration. And when we do so, you'll find greater communication and greater connections to people who don't look like you, but have the same essence within them.
Monica, I love that. That's beautiful. And it leads me, of course, to ask, how do we get there? But before I even come in with that question, there's the thing of, you know, how do we even talk about it? Because it can be really difficult to have the language. I know I used the term that the soul is colorless because that's truly how I see it. And I've always seen it that way. And yet I'm aware that that word colorless offends people, some groups, and that's certainly not my intention. I certainly do not want to make someone who's already suffered feel uncomfortable or suffer further. That's not what I want to do at all. So then how do we talk about it? What language do we use? And how do we then take from there and move to solution? That's a loaded question. There's a lot.
That's a lot there. Let's look at why when you said, you know, the soul is colorless, let's look at why it has been problematic. Now, the statement itself, the soul is colorless. Now, your intention may be one thing, but in societies like the United States of America and Canada, when you say the soul is colorless, what it means is it implies that having color is somehow a negative,
Oh.
because in societies that are, and I'm going to keep it 100 again with your audience, in societies that dominant society tends to be people of European background, having color is associated with being less than or having less value or being less human. Therefore, the only way to be truly human is to be stripped of color, not to be colored, but to have the color stripped from you. Remove those things that connect you to your indigenous culture if you're Native American. If you're African American Black, get rid of those things that manifest your cultural heritage. Be colorless is another way of saying be Caucasian.
Oh, I had no idea, because that's not how I think of it.
It may, and that's
important.
Now.
That's really important. Get that. Yeah.
It's important. See, your intention is one thing, but what society, the construct of society, is different. And many sincere people like yourself, you also have not been shown or made aware of how language and wordage has been used to construct a society that says, if I say the soul is colorless, well, colorless means it's like a blank piece of paper. It's white. And in the English language, if you look in the dictionary, look, this is something for your audience to do. Go to the dictionary and look up the words white. Everything that in the English language, the word white implies everything that is pure, wholesome, washed, blemish free. Look at the words, blemish free. And look up the word black, or look up the, anything that's negative is called black male, black guard, you know. He has a black mark on his or her notes. So things that imply color have, in the English language, imply that there are, no one wants to aspire to have color. So when you say the soul is colorless, your intention is one thing, but society has already determined that that means something different.
I see what you're saying, yeah. And you know what I mean is, quite literally, when I look at my soul, it's just clear. That's the color that I see. And when I look at your soul, it's clear. Yeah. And it's not to say that color, I get, but I totally understand now where you're
coming from. Yeah, and so the language would be, the language would be maybe like the soul is blemish free. The soul is pure. That's different. But another way to look at, the soul is pure.
And that they're the same, that my soul and that, like your soul.
The soul comes from the same source, or things like that. Okay, that's different. Because the same creator that created the pure soul that we cannot see is the same creator that created the colors.
Of course.
In the Holy Quran, which is the book of scripture of the Muslims, it says that the mountains were made red and green and other streaks of color. It also says in another location that, do you not see the corn and the carrots and the apples and whatnot? They're all watered with the same water. And they said there's a sign in this for those who are attentive and those who study. So the same universal source that waters us with the same water, the same Reiki energy that empowers us, it produced the colors, like a beautiful bouquet of flowers. Yes, you can have all a nice bundle of red roses, and 12 red roses are beautiful, but so is a bouquet of flowers that has nice colors in it. And so there's nothing wrong with the color. It's what do we assign the color to. It's what we assign that culture. We assign that culture to have less value because they do not express themselves the same way I do or you do. Because they don't say good morning. They say Ohayo gozaimasu. Oh, well, they're not speaking proper language. We must teach them to speak the proper language. And that is a failing of humanity, is to not understand that you can say something differently and say the same thing. It doesn't mean that one. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, Munikai, I was just going to say that I live in the province of New Brunswick, and my husband is French speaking. I'm English speaking primarily, but I learned French and he learned English because we wanted to communicate cross cultures. But there is still a lot of brace or resistance sometimes with something as simple as language. So I really see what you're saying, but then tell me, you know, what is a Reiki practitioner who wants to say something or who wants to help? You know, I know we can use Reiki to empower our voice and to assist us with the words, but there can sometimes be some fear about, well, gosh, I don't know what to do because I'm going to make somebody angry or be misunderstood by somebody. And so what do we do there?
First of all, give yourself some Reiki and love and forgive yourself for your own shortcomings that you have, because we all have them. None of us have achieved perfection yet. So give yourself a break, first of all, because last time I checked, we were all babies at one time, and every baby, you know, the baby just didn't go from crawling to walking immediately. The baby was wobbly until the baby's got its leg strength, and the baby fell down a couple of times. But as you can tell, because we fell down doesn't mean that we stayed down. The baby gets up and tries walking again. Baby holds on to the hand of its caregiver or the table or the sofa until the baby gets enough balance to begin walking. So when it comes to us as Reiki practitioners, and or even anyone in general, and you want to reach out, but you're afraid to make the mistake, mm-hmm. tell yourself, you know what? I probably will make the mistake. I probably will. But that doesn't mean I'm going to stop trying. And you know what? If I offend, then go into the situation and be honest and openly. You know what? Everybody or people, my intention is to do better. Mm-hmm. I admit I might make mistakes because I admit I'm new at this. So I'm asking your forgiveness ahead of time for the mistakes I might make. So I'm just being upfront. I don't mean to offend. And if I do, I apologize in advance. And I'll probably have to apologize when I make the offense too. But I at least am aware that I'm new at trying to communicate with people outside of my comfort zone. In other words, go into that state of trying to communicate with people across cultures in a state of humility and humbleness. Mm. When you're trying to communicate as a Reiki practitioner, remember that we are not the authors of this wonderful energy that we are practicing. We're just the current transmitter. And remember, here's the thing that we as practitioners can need to keep in mind. Chances are, the people of this culture have some practice or something that connects them to what we call in English or Japanese, the Reiki energy. That's what we call it. Perhaps they're calling the same practice or modality under another name.
Yes.
When you accept that or know that, oh, wow, I'm among this Native American, this Native Canadian tribe, Native American tribe, or I'm talking to these people from Central and South America, perhaps they have a connection to this Reiki energy under a different name. Yeah, okay, they don't know Mikao Usui. They don't know the power symbol that under the way that we know it. But like languages, there are different ways to say similar things. When you keep that in mind, that allows you to maybe to go into the people and talk with the people who you're talking to from a different perspective. You know, and just wonder, it's like, is there anyone among your culture who does energy type work? And be open-minded to learn. What do they call it? How do they call it? Chances are that modality is associated with a religious practice in their culture. That is how most people, when they have some kind of energy-related practice if you study it long enough, you will see these are elements of what we call Reiki is in that modality. It's expressed differently. It looks differently. They have different forms of initiation. They don't call it attunements or placements or whatever. They have their own language. But when you understand that, again, speaking the language differently doesn't mean you're saying something different. It just gives you another perspective. When you accept that, you're able to then communicate with people and say, you know what? You're saying you're doing something differently, but I see what you're doing. And when you can do that, you're able to flow amongst different cultures and different people effortlessly. Does that answer your question?
It sure does. And it leads me into my last question before our meditation. And that is this, you realized at one point what your life mission was, that it was to help people understand how to cross cultures. And that's always been something that I've been very interested in as well. But when you were praying on it, you were given a very specific answer of what we could all do to understand the other cultures and to move into the energy of that and the perspective of that. And while I'm going to lead the part of the meditation that allows us to release anything that could be holding us back, you're going to lead us into that. So can you just say a little bit about understanding your divine purpose and a little bit about this exercise?
When you are trying to learn what is your divine purpose, it is the thing that you do best and the thing that you love to do that comes effortlessly to you. That's more than likely the thing that you're born to do. Since I have been guided to be able to live among cultures and see and understand people from different perspectives, I realized and I saw that there were people who want to do the same thing, but honestly just don't know. What's the process? How do I get started? And I was meditating on it and it said, the peace grid came to me and said, use me as the way to exercise your way of communicating and expanding your cultural perspective. And what the divine showed me was this. Every month, the ICRT, and we have a World Peace Grid meditation, correct?
Yes.
The question is, have we ever taken the time to get familiar with the different symbols and different cultures that are represented on the peace grid, or do we just send to the peace grid in general? Which is fine. You can send to the peace grid in general and just all at once. But what I was shown was what we should do is take the individual faith traditions that are represented on the peace grid, and we should sit with them and meditate on them and send Reiki to each one of the individual symbols that represent the 12 different religions represented on the peace grid, one a day. For example, one day I will take time to do my prayer and to connect to the spirit and the energy of all, say, Buddhists, people who practice Buddhism, and connect to them using the distance symbol if you're a level two and your master symbol, and send love and Reiki out to the people who practice Buddhism for their highest good. After you spend time in sending Reiki and love to the people, for example, Buddhism, then do a search about these people on the internet. Study them. Look them up. Just put, for example, Buddhism. Okay, just type in Buddhism and just see what does the internet say about them. Look up their scientists and philosophers and inventors, people who have made contributions to the world who happen to be Buddhist. Learn about them. As you learn about these people, respect grows for them. Then the next time you do your meditation, you will have a greater amount of respect and love because this person who proclaims to be a Buddhist did this invention that contributed to the health and wellness of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you did Buddhism one day. The next day, then you do Hinduism. Same process. Meditate, pray, send Reiki for their highest good for everyone who practices Hinduism. Study them. Get to know them. Learn about, this person was a Hindu and they created this product or this thing that I personally benefit from or people I know benefit from. Wow, I didn't know that. Your respect level grows. Do this for all of the symbols that are on the peace grid and strive to do it preferably before the World Peace Grid meditation that comes up every month. What will happen is your love level for the members of humanity will grow. Your respect for the various members of humanity will grow. That way, when you meet people who are you're walking down the street and you meet someone who is of one of the 12 different faiths, you have an instant connection to them because you've been sending them Reiki, you've been sending them love, you have been studying about them, and then you have an instant connection. Oh, and remember, agnostics and atheists are included in this as well.
I'm a scientist, and I said to Colleen Benelli, well, where do I fit? And she said, science fits under independent spiritual paths. So
yes,
pretty much there are 12 symbols, but they are inclusive of everyone on the planet.
Exactly.
Regardless of their belief system.
And that's the beauty of this method that we were given. You can pick any one of these particular paths. And the more you read about the people, the more you get familiar. In the word familiar is the word family. So the more you are familiar with the people of the different backgrounds, you begin to resonate on the frequency of the family. So when you meet them, your spirit will automatically remember, when I studied about them, this is how I felt. And it will shift you into that frequency. So then those particular people will see you and be like, you know what? You are fam, F-A-M, fam, which is short for family, which is you are familiar. Why? Because you will be resonating on the frequency, the energetic frequency of the people of that particular background. So by doing this exercise, you are connecting yourself to the members of the human family in by whatever, wherever they are, and you'll be able to flow and shift out. And just a disclaimer, that does not mean you have to believe. This is not about belief. This is about learning about members of the human family and do a process that will allow you to vibrate in a way that will allow you to feel familiar to them to feel familiar to yourself, and you will feel like family, familiar.
I love that. And I have been intending to do that exercise ever since you suggested it, but I will be joining you in it today for the first time just because I have not had an opportunity to sit down and take the time for it yet. And what we are inviting people to do is to choose one of the following symbols from the World Peace Grid. And if you do have a peace grid handy to meditate with today, we invite you to use it. If you don't, that's okay. Just choose one of the following that you're not all that familiar with or not as familiar with. Native peoples, Buddhism, Hinduism, independent spiritual paths, Christianity, Judaism, the goddess religions, Islam, Shintoism, all others, including agnostics and atheists, Zoroastrianism or Taoism. And one of the things, if you're not familiar with the World Peace Grids, that you may not know, there's a wonderful story, and I'll link to that in the description, as well as to a couple of wonderful resources that Munakai has offered. And the World Peace Grids are some actual grids that our ICRT instructor, William Rand, Munikai, you studied with him on Mount Kurama. I studied with him at Stonehenge in England. And he actually placed these grids at the North Pole, the South Pole, in Israel, in Jerusalem, and at each of the Reiki centers, one in the ICRT Reiki centers in Michigan and in Hawaii. And also recently, Munikai, you and Lena were involved with helping place one of the peace grids on Mount Kurama, the birthplace of Reiki.
Yes, we were.
These grids are beautiful. They have each of the 12 symbols. They are a 12-petaled lotus flower that is the same as the ICRT logo. They have the Reiki symbols under master crystal and beautiful crystals at each of the 12 symbols. At each of the 12 spiritual symbols. And it has the following inscription: may the followers of all religions and spiritual paths work together to create peace among all people on earth. Anybody who chooses to can download free photos of the world peace grids. And you can, I actually have a Reiki grid that I send Reiki to daily. So they are in my Reiki grid so that I get to send toward world peace daily. And our Reiki shares here at Hidden Brook Farm are usually correspond with the date that we send, the monthly date that William asks people to send to the World Peace Grids. And so we also tie in and send Reiki that way. So it's really a lovely practice. But before we start, I just want to invite any of you who may be driving or who may need to stay alert. These meditations can sometimes go deep. So I'd just like to invite you to either pause the recording to listen to later, or you may wish to pull over on the side of the road. And we're going to leave you in the meditation today so that you can stay in it as long as you wish. But I would like to invite you to join us next week when Elder Glenda Labillawa talks to us about Native spirituality and Reiki and how the two of them go together. So I think, Munikai, we're ready to begin the meditation. I'd just like to invite you all to close your eyes, take some deep breaths, and once again, begin letting go. Invite the Reiki energy to flow through you and around you. And we invite the energy to notice if there may be some prejudice or trauma, brace, anything within us that would prevent us from working comfortably across cultures. We invite the energy of forgiveness flow through us and let it go, even if we are unaware of it. Let go of any brace. Let go of the energy of fear that sometimes surrounds this topic, fear of other cultures, fear that we'll make a mistake. Invite the energy to move us firmly into mindset of love. Helping us develop that familiarity so that we can understand that we are all family. Forgiving ourselves if we've made any mistakes or errors in judgment or indeed in the past. And forgiving others who continue to do so, or who continue to hold on to brace. It has been said that anger and frustration is an effective motivator, but Reiki energy has shown us that if we switch the perspective to love, we can move into inspiration instead. And that has a much pure, more effective, motivating frequency. And we give thanks that we are moving into this deeper understanding of each other and of other cultures. We give thanks to the teachers who've come before us, bringing us these ways of love, this way of Reiki, this way of non-judgment, this way of peace. We are blessed to be of a lineage of light bringers today, creating wellness in this world, peace in the world, and that begins with peace within ourselves. So we invite the energy of peace to flow into and around us and to surround every cell as Munikai now leads us in the meditation to connect with the religious traditions or culture that you've chosen today.
We give thanks to all the great teachers of the divine that were raised up among us to show us our ways. We give thanks to that great eternal source that shines down the divine water, that waters the human field, bringing up the red apples, the orange carrots, the white cauliflower, the purple eggplant. We give thanks and we acknowledge that in the oneness there is diversity. And in the diversity, there is oneness. We acknowledge that the 12 faith traditions represented on the World Peace Grid are but like that red apple and the orange carrots. They are all watered by the same divine energy. They are all expressions of the great oneness. So at this time, we invite you to select the faith tradition that you would like to connect to. In your heart and in your mind, we invite you to intend to send Reiki, to send divine love, to send divine mind and a divine heart to connect to the people who are practicing of that particular faith tradition. We are offering to send you Reiki, Reiki energy for the highest good, past, present, and future. It is our sincere desire that we may feel and grow a bridge of connection between ourselves and the faith tradition that you have chosen. We desire that the bridge of divine love connects ourselves to you. That there is no more distance between us, but that the divine in me connects to the divine in the people of that tradition that you have chosen. And I choose to walk across that divine bridge and connect to the people of that spiritual tradition. Connect with the frequency of the people of that faith tradition. Give thanks and honors to the divine that these people are here. For all of these people have contributed to the health and wellness of the world in their own way. So we create a divine triangle of connection from the divine to the people of that faith tradition, and from the divine to myself, and then from myself to the people. And with love and honesty, we offer to send you Reiki energy for the highest good of all practitioners and believers in that faith tradition. May the connection between myself and this faith tradition be strong. May we be blessed to see and recognize that we are family and that we are familiar. And when we go forth from this meditation, when we meet each other, may we look at each other in acknowledgement that we are family. So we give thanks to the divine for this time that we have been blessed to be here. We give thanks for this podcast. We give thanks for the ascended masters who have come before us to teach us. And we give thanks to the descendants who come after us to carry on the traditions and legacies of spiraling upwards into divine oneness. Divine oneness that recognizes and acknowledges the diversity, and yet in this diversity there is yet oneness. May we go forth from this time more united in love, in a triple cord of love, with divine loving bonds that shall not break or wither when tested. And we say Amen, Aho, Namaste, and so it is.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I invite you who are listening to stay in this experience as long as you feel guided to do so. And Munakai, I thank you for leading us in this today and for helping us to see these opportunities and understand this perspective. And thank you, the listener, for tuning in and for being with us today. Have a wonderful week, everyone. Namaste.